Due to the coronavirus disruption, Treasurer Josh Frydenberg is planning for the budget to be put to Parliament on the 6th of October. This is 5 months later than it should have been ordinarily. At this time of the year, we should be breathlessly hanging off any word from the government to find out what could be in it, how it could affect us, and see whether we would have a balanced budget. The idea of a surplus seems so long ago that we really don't know where to start with a 2020 budget. And I asked Dr. David Bond, UTS Business School Senior Lecturer, if it's the right decision to postpone this year's budget.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the big things about budgets is the forward expectations about what's going to happen. They've got to bring in ideas around these economic parameters, so on GDP, employment, unemployment, and so on. And right at the moment, I mean, those things are difficult enough to forecast in a normal circumstance. I mean, right at the moment, no one really knows what's going on, so it makes a lot of sense to push it back.
We're obviously going to have a lot more expenditure, and everything is going to blow out, so the back-in-black idea has gone right back into the back of the back burner. What sort of figures do you think we could be looking at?
Oh, I mean, you're absolutely right in the sense that the surplus has completely disappeared and may well disappear for a very long period of time. In terms of what things are expected to look like, you know, really, I don't think anyone has a great sense about at this point in time. And the primary focus, which it has been and needs to be, is around making sure that kind of the health aspects of this is covered off. And I think they've made some good calls on trying to get some of that stimulus out there. But in terms of what happens, you know, where employment or so unemployment lands, you know, they're talking 10 to 15%. Philip Lowe, the RBA governor, I think last week said they're expecting output to fall by 10%. So how much it actually falls and where this all ends up, I don't think it's really easy to tell.
I mean, is it going to be that easy for Treasury to do all the numbers on this? Because we're not even talking half a year. I've just gone through this in my head. It's 5 months, isn't it, that we're kicking the can down the road. So the calculations are not going to be that easy, are they?
No, I mean, look, and the calculations for these things never are. And if you were to look at, you know, the major economic parameters, the things which sort of underlie the assumptions in the budget, so what these figures are based on, I mean, these things are difficult enough to forecast in the best of time. Right at the moment with what's happening, yeah, like, they're going to be working hard on this. It's not really a good point in time to be sort of putting figures in place where if they were to have the budget, it would have been the 12th of May, so just over 2 weeks. Now, these things are going to be incredibly fluid over the next, you know, few months, if not longer. So the more time that they have just to let this settle down and figure out what this actually means, probably the better in terms of future forecasts.
And really, we normally have a MIFO in the end of November, don't we? So how's that going to work?
Well, I mean, you may well see something come out in October and then they provide an update later on. Obviously, it sounds a bit funny when you have a mid-year update not that long after the actual budget. But, you know, it's, I think we've seen precedent with that when, during the GFC with Wayne Swan, there was figures that came out and then they came out and updated things sort of 8 weeks later because things were so fast moving. So I think that's going to be a really important part of it, is that we understand as users of this information that the assumptions sitting under this are going to be pretty tentative at best.
And would we still be expecting more stimulus measures as well?
So I think they've made some really good calls on getting on top of the health aspects of things and also providing support for businesses out there. I mean, you know, I've certainly got friends who've been in bad situations, and you talk to them, you see local businesses which are really struggling. And not just local businesses, larger businesses as well. I mean, you're seeing sporting codes just completely get decimated. And these are, you know, some of these organizations are incredibly large. So to support that going forward, we've got to see what the next month looks like.
The main, I guess, levers that the government's been using in the past has been tax-based ones. The problem with tax is you've got to be making profits to make tax cuts of benefit. A lot of people aren't going to be making profits, are they?
Yeah, a lot of businesses won't necessarily. In terms of then other sort of measures they can take in place, I mean, will a lot of this end up falling on households in some way, shape, or form? And if it does, then sort of which households get affected by it? And I think we're still so early on in this process that it's hard to really tell where this all ends up and who ends up kind of, you know, carrying the can for this. I think we're very much in that state of we've got to deal with what we've got to deal with, and I think you see that bipartisan level of support across we've just got to get through this has been really positive, if that's one good outcome from this, which, there haven't been a huge number of good outcomes, but the way in which Australia seems to have pulled together to kind of get through it in the way that we have, where you look at other parts of the world, not named countries, where it's seemed to be quite a divisive thing that's happening.
Dr. David Bond, Senior Lecturer at UTS Business School, speaking with me there. I'm Roderick Chambers, and you're listening to The Wire around Australia on the Community Radio Network.